You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The Punt, William Hill's top flight football podcast.
Hello everyone, welcome along to the Punt Podcast, William Hill's look at the Premier League football this weekend. As usual, Dave Kellner here alongside Lee Phelps and Derek McGovern to go through all 10 matches. And Mr. McGovern, I'm confident this week. I think there's some good looking bets on the coupon. I've decided not to do the Naps table update just yet.
Don't.
We'll wait until we get into the full swing of things.
Well, good looking bet.
Let's be fair about this, though. Should we just wait until Derek gets a winner?
I was unlucky, wasn't I? Villa last week. You know what? Also,
Been counting your winnings, were you?
Well, I had it for a 60-1 acca in the mirror as well. Unbelievable, innit? Absolutely unbelievable. But you just knew. As soon as they got the first goal, Leicester, you just knew. Are your good looking bets as good looking as the pundits you have on the show today?
Let's hope so, Derek. Let's hope so.
That's a very low bar.
Yeah, that is a low bar. Let's get stuck into the weekend's football then, and we'll start with Chelsea versus Arsenal, which is the 12:45 p.m. kickoff on Saturday afternoon. Chelsea 7-5 to win the game. The draw 21-10. Arsenal 21-10. Headline offers: Diego Costa to score and Chelsea to win is 7-2. Alexis Sanchez to score and Arsenal to win 6-1. Derek, none of your little jokes here. This is a banter-free zone. No jokes on this one, Derek. Chelsea versus Arsenal. 7-5 Chelsea to win the game.
Well, you can't back them, can you? You can't. But they've taken more stick in the tabloids recently. But they could only have taken more if he'd appointed Jeremy Corbyn as manager. In fact, I thought they had. I don't know what's gone wrong with them. I mean, you know, that win in midweek, the one over in the European Champions League, has only papered over the cracks, hasn't it? Jose Mourinho is still cracking over the papers, the stick he's been taking. I can't back him at 7-5, I can't, because there's serious problems there. People keep saying, I mean, you guys thought last week, yeah, you know, we'll get back to the Chelsea, you know, the proper Chelsea soon enough, but there's no sign of it, absolutely no sign of it, and I'm not getting worked up by a 4-0 win over some Israeli nomarks. That doesn't matter. What matters is what's happening in the Premier League, and what's happening in the Premier League is Chelsea making laughing stocks of themselves. That said, Arsenal, not my favourite team, as you well know. Disgraceful in midweek in Europe. Watched them against Liverpool a couple of weeks ago. Thought they were very, very ordinary. And Chelsea never lose to them, unless it's a community shield. So I've got nowhere to go with this mismatch other than a draw. I think it'll be a draw. Moreover, I think it'll be a 0-0 draw because, you know, what Mourinho does in these big games is defend in numbers, that number being 11. And I think he can't afford to lose this game. I know people are saying it's a must-win game, but imagine if they lose. Can't lose this one, and I think it'll be a 0-0 draw.
11-1, if you fancy the 0-0 draw. It's the first time, Lee, since May 2006 that Jose Mourinho has lost successive Premier League games. Now 11 points behind Manchester City, Chelsea, after just the 5 games. Derek says they can't afford to lose this match, but can they afford not to win it? Because 11 points is a big gap this early in the season.
It is, and Mourinho has been talking that the fact how big a game it is. You know, if he's talking it up, then it means it must be a big game. And the players have been talking after that midweek win. And I agree with Derek. You can't go and, you know, say that's a great win and they're going to win this game. But I just wonder if it gives them that little bit more confidence. It just gives them a bit of confidence. I'm more concerned about Arsenal here than Chelsea. Chelsea aren't a team that you can back at the minute, I don't think. But 7-5 isn't a bad price if Arsenal have kind of crumbled inside a little bit. You know, they weren't playing particularly well before last weekend, remember, when they won. They weren't getting the results. Flashes of, you know, really good play, but also some pretty mediocre stuff as well. That defeat for them, that must have hit them pretty hard. I don't have to preach to Derek here because he's not the biggest Arsene Wenger fan in the world, obviously, but I don't get why you would strive to finish in a Champions League place than in your first group match away from home at a team who haven't been beaten at home domestically since July 2010, haven't lost a game in this calendar year. Why you would send out a weakened team? Why wouldn't you send out your best team to go and get a result? Mm. They've now got Chelsea, a quick turnaround for Arsenal as well. If they do lose this, then they've got Spurs next week in the Capital One Cup. You'll send out a weakened team for that. They could, feasibly, be out of the Champions League or out of a position to get a top spot. And the Capital One Cup by this time next weekend. I just think it's a terrible decision that he's made. I've got no idea why he wouldn't send your best team out for every match. And I'm not sure they'll be able to pick up the pace. I think Arsenal will be off the pace a little bit here. And I think that will help Chelsea to get the win. I agree. I don't like the 7-5. I think it's going to be a tight game, though. I don't see Arsenal going for Chelsea. I think Chelsea will do what Derek said, you know, and almost treat it like a kind of, we must not lose this game. I think they'll nick it in the end. I still say, we said it last week, still need to see more from Fabregas and from Costa. He obviously got a goal in midweek and it was a good finish. More from Hazard as well. I mean, Hazard has been the major disappointment. Derek talking about Jeremy Corbyn, probably could do with him on the left wing instead of Hazard. I said that, he'd be in the stand, is that left wing, I suppose, wouldn't he? As far as a bet goes, under 2.5 goals for me. I think it'll be a tight match. I think Chelsea might nick it by a single goal. That's even money, the under 2.5 here, which, you know, I don't mind that at all. I'd just edge Chelsea if I was forced to go for a result because of the home advantage, because of the sign that that Mourinho tends to have over Wenger. And you look at that, you know, the under 2.5, Arsenal got beaten 6 by Chelsea in 2014, March 2014. Look at the results between the two of them. Around that, you know, loads of under 2.5s, you know, recently. The Chelsea beat them 2-0 last season in the Premier League. It was 0-0 at the Emirates, 0-0 at the Emirates the season before that, 1-0 at the Emirates as well. 1-0 in the Community Shield. Chelsea won 2-0 in the League Cup. So I think the under 2.5 is a decent price at evens. It's a bit of a rubbish bet for your live, you know, starter on the in the Premier League, but I'll stick with that one.
If you fancy Chelsea to win it and under 2.5 goals, so Chelsea 1-0 or 2-0, 9-2.
Yeah, it's a big price.
That is a big price.
It is a big price. If they can, I mean, they need a clean sheet. They've kept one clean sheet all season. It was against Maccabi Tel Aviv. So, you know, I think I can't decide on the outright, so that's why I'm going
under
for that, because I'm stuck between a narrow Chelsea win and a draw, and that way I get both under 2.5, as long as it's not 2-2, obviously.
Okay, good stuff. That's Chelsea versus Arsenal, Saturday, 12:45 p.m. kickoff. Next, we've got Man City versus West Ham. This is 5:30 p.m. on Saturday night. Man City 2-7, the draw 4-1, the Hammers 11-1. Headline offers here: David Silva to score and Manchester City to win is 9-4. Dimitri Payet to score and West Ham to win 33-1. Maximum points lead for City. Played 5-1-5, not conceded yet. Will West Ham be the first team to get a goal against them in the Premier League? They've already won at Liverpool and Arsenal this season. And he's part of the headline offer. Dimitri Payet looks a quality signing, a real gem they found there.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, and they've had some iffy results, haven't they, West Ham? But those two. I mean, it's funny because the away record and the home record reads identical here for this game. West Ham have scored 5 and conceded none away from home at Arsenal and Liverpool, and Man City have scored 5 and conceded none at home against Chelsea and Watford. So neither team has done anything wrong. You'd probably just edge West Ham in terms of those results. I backed Man City over 2.5 goals in that Watford game, and I was really disappointed how they played that first half. It was like the Man City of last season when they looked a little bit lethargic and didn't have that get up and go where they go and punish teams. Came out in the second half and looked a much better side. Scored after 47 and 56, and I thought I was on for a winner there, but it didn't come out. I think we might see something similar here again, especially given the disappointment of the midweek result. Once again, they seem unable to master the Champions League. I know it was Juventus and they were the runners-up last year, but they're in the middle of their worst ever Serie A start, Juventus.
They've lost a lot of their big players, haven't they?
Yeah, so I mean, I thought that was a worse result than Arsenal's result for me in the Champions League. So I'm going to go for... I think West Ham might be able to keep them to a draw at half-time here, given what I've said about that. I mean, you know, the goal for West Ham, they scored early against Liverpool, of course, and scored just before half-time against Arsenal and kept both of those teams to nil. So, you know, they're a good counter-attacking team, and I wouldn't necessarily put anyone off backing West Ham in some form. Plus one, maybe. Draw no bet. Because of that counter-attacking skill they've got. But I think City will just get the better of them. I think City are a better team than Arsenal, better team than Liverpool. So the double result here, draw Man City is 16-5.
11-1 West Ham, Derek. Is that tempting you?
No, it isn't. I didn't give them a prayer at Liverpool a couple of weeks ago, and they won doing cartwheels. That's how easy it was. But I didn't quite realise then just how poor Liverpool were. I know now. I can't have West Ham. How do you explain West Ham's form this season, losing at home to Leicester and Bournemouth and then winning at Arsenal and Liverpool? It's inexplicable. And the temptation is to think, yeah, this is a side that's going to give big teams problems away from home, catch them on the break. I don't see it like that. I think they caught Arsenal cold and they just met a very poor Liverpool team. City are anything but very poor. They'll have Aguero back by the looks of things as well. And City with Aguero, a different animal completely. I'm not going to get involved in 2-7 pokes. It's just not my cup of tea, even though most of them win. But City to win without conceding, which is what they've done every single game this season in the league, 11-10. I don't see anything wrong with that.
City to win to nil is 11-10. If you're looking at Sergio Aguero to score at any time in this game, it is short. It's 6-10 for him to score any time, but he's got 7 in his last 6 Premier League games at the Etihad, and a good record against West Ham recently as well. 4 in his last 5 against the Hammers. Man City 2-7, draw 4-1, and West Ham 11-1. Derek going with Man City to win to nil, available at 11-10. On to Sunday's games then. We start with Tottenham versus Crystal Palace. This is a 1:30 PM kickoff. Tottenham even money to win the game. The draw is 11-5. And Crystal Palace 3-1. Headline offers: Harry Kane to score and Tottenham to win 3-1. Jason Puncheon to score and Crystal Palace to win is 10-1. Tottenham beat Sunderland last week at the Stadium of Light 1-0. They've only picked up 6 points from their opening 5 games, though, and they're coming up against a well-drilled Alan Pardew side here, Derek.
Well, yeah, I mean, isn't it sickening though that it's 3-1 here now, Palace? And we could have got 9-1 when I talked them up at Chelsea a few weeks ago. Bookies have cottoned on. Palace away from home are a side to fear from a bookies point of view, and that's why they're giving nothing away here, 3-1. But I'm still on it. I don't rate Tottenham at all. Just don't see anything from them. I mean, they're good enough to beat the cannon fodder in the Premier League. Yeah, you'd fancy Tottenham to win, but whenever they come up against a tough ask, and this is a tough ask, they're found wanting. I think what they're found wanting most is another manager. I'm going to go for Palace here at 3-1. It fulfills all the criteria I look for in a bet, i.e. it'll win.
That's it. It's the number one and only criteria. They have won 8 of their last 10 away from Selhurst Park. They have, as Derek's mentioned, been to Stamford Bridge and won this season. The thing I looked at here, Lee, and I agree with Derek, they do look a good bet, Crystal Palace. Tottenham have got a very, very young side, and we saw how physical Crystal Palace can be last week against Manchester City. I think they could bully them.
You think?
Yeah, I think they could bully this Tottenham side on Sunday.
Yeah, I agree with Derek there. That 3-1 is just, it's still too short for me. Even though I wouldn't be surprised at all if they won. I just think, you look at the away record. Someone said this week, and I couldn't believe it was true. I had to go and check it. Last 10 away games, Palace, won 8, lost 2.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable, isn't it? It's crazy. I can't believe that stat. And I'm still having to look at it. I just looked at it again, just make sure it's still true. Unbelievable. It just says everything about what they are, which is a very good counter-attacking team who, you know, when they get in front of goal, they take the chances. Tottenham, you know, their home form has been pretty poor spanning the summer as well. You know, they ended the season with a 1-0 defeat to Villa, a 1-0 defeat to Man City, a 2-0 win over Hull, who obviously went down. They started the season with a 2-2 draw at home to Stoke and a 0-0 draw at home to Everton. Goals aren't particularly easy for them to come by. But I'm going to go for both teams to score here. I think if the bookies think that Palace are as short as 3-1 to win at Tottenham, that means they think they're going to score goals, I think. And you'd imagine Tottenham would score goals at home, despite that recent relatively poor run. You know, they went on that run towards the end, you know, through January and February, where they were scoring and conceding at will. You know, you had 5-3s and 2-2s, 3-2s, 4-3s against Leicester.
Yeah.
So it's a pretty basic bet. I think Palace will win. I'm not going to take that necessarily, that 3-1. But what I'm going to take is both teams to score. Just plain old simple, 8-11. If you are confident of Palace winning, then the 11-2, Palace to win and both teams to score might be attractive to you. But bit of a weak one, but just a plain old simple, 8-11, both teams to score in this one.
Tottenham even money to win the match. The draw 11-5, Crystal Palace 3-1 here with William Hill. Next, it's the Sunday 4 PM kickoff, Southampton versus Manchester United. Southampton 2-1 to win the game. The draw 2-1. Manchester United 6-4. Headline offers: Graziano Pella to score and Southampton Southampton to win at 9-1, Memphis Depay to score, and Manchester United to win is 5-1. Those prices, since the market was formed, Lee, they have swung drastically in the favour of Southampton. They've been well backed in this match betting market here. First of all, disappointment for Manchester United midweek in the Champions League, not only losing to PSV Eindhoven, but Luke Shaw suffering with that horrific injury, which will keep him out for, you'd think, the best part of a year. It's going to be tough for Manchester United to reorganise that back line, given how prominent he's been in the early part of the season.
Yeah, looks like Rocco come in, didn't it? But yeah, they just started to, I suppose, Manchester United had just started to look like, you know, they were getting that all together as well. But they're I still think that they're a bit fragile at the back. I'm more interested in the Southampton defence, which obviously was fantastic last season. Not so good at the early part of this season, but then have a look at what they're doing now. You know, clean sheet against West Brom, clean sheet against Norwich, lost to Midtjylland, of course, which was a pretty poor result. Clean sheet against Watford as well. So all of a sudden, you know, three successive clean sheets since they were beaten by Everton. And it looks like maybe that Everton result shook them and woke them up a little bit. I think this will be a tight game. I don't think Manchester United have got enough firepower. Scored one at Swansea, one at Villa, nothing at Hull at the end of last season, nothing at Everton at the end of last season, did get two at Selhurst Park. I think that's where their problems still lie. And I think if they do have any defensive frailties this weekend and maybe a lack of confidence in the Man United defence, then it'll only mean that the front line and the midfield shrink back even more just to protect that defence if they are lacking confidence. So I'm going for another goals play here. I think the unders and the goals is well worth looking at. You look at the under 2.5 price, it's 4-7, which is well short, which has kind of led me to look at the under 1.5 at 2-1. I just think I could see a 0-0 here almost, or maybe just someone sneaking it 1-0 either way, but under 1.5 at 2-1.
Sounds like you like that, Derek.
Phelps has taken the words right out of my gob. Everything you said is right there.
I've learnt well, haven't I, Derek?
Yeah, it could easily be 0-0. If you want to play safer, under 1.5 get you 2-1. Big difference that, isn't it? 2-1 to the 4-7 at under 2.5 as opposed to that. I mean, Southampton have failed to score, I think, in four of their last six games. Man United, you mentioned Luke Shaw, you know, the defensive problems that might cause them. I think it causes them attacking problems. I think he's been their best attacker, Luke Shaw. He's been the one bright spot of their season, and he's going to be a big loss to them. I mean, you know, the struggle that they've been having now under Van Gaal and then before him, David Moyes. I mean, it just shows you what a loss Alex Fergie's been to them. About 5 minutes a match, it's bye-bye, I reckon. I wouldn't be surprised to see this finish in a draw, and that's 2-1, which is, you know, as short as you'll get in a Premier League contest. But, you know, I don't see many goals in the Coupon this weekend in the Premier League, and I think this has got 0-0 written all over it.
Goal scorer that I like here,
got
Sadio Mane. After all that rigmarole in the summer about him maybe being a Manchester United target and leaving, Luke Shaw goes down with an injury. He's going to expose lack of pace at the back now. If he starts, Sadio Mane 12-5 to score any time, but obviously maybe play a first goal scorer bet there at a big price at 15-2, given that you think there could be a lack of goals in the game.
Yeah, one thing I don't think there will be is a lack of spice in the game, though. You know, these two managers, there's no love lost between these two, is there?
Test,
between Koeman and Van Gaal from days of old. I was looking back at the bookings, and neither game last season was particularly high on the bookings. It was 5 at Old Trafford and 3 at Southampton. But the interesting thing is that all the cards came in the second half, bar one. There was a bit of a set to towards the end of the game at St Mary's, and that's when all the cards were thrown up. So it might be one worth looking at in play, the in-play card markets. So if you get to half-time and not many, maybe place a bit more on the cards. At the minute, you've got 21-10 for over three cards in the second half, which might be pushing it a little bit, to be fair.
Yep.
But maybe have a look and see in play. If it's a pretty tame first half, let's have a look at maybe over two cards in the second half. When you're watching the game, just want to bear in mind.
Check out those headline offers as well if you do fancy Southampton. Obviously, Graziano Pella's goal scoring record at St Mary's much better than away from home. 9-1 for him to score, and Southampton to win. On to the.
What I was going to say very quickly, sorry, on the both bookings points is that in both those games, Southampton had more booking points than Man United, and they're 7-5 to have the most in this match.
Good stuff. On to the non-televised matches this weekend, and we'll start with Aston Villa versus West Brom. 13-10 Villa to win the game. The draw 11-5 and West Brom 11-5. Gabriel Agbonlahor to score and Aston Villa to win is 4-1. Salomon Rondon to score and West Brom to win in the market at 7-1. I won't bring up the fact that Aston Villa were your nap last weekend again, Derek. Tim Sherwood spoke after that game, Derek. I don't know if you saw the interview. He was clearly crestfallen. He didn't strike me as the sort of person that would automatically get a response from his team.
No. I mean, what surprised me about Villa this season is the goals they've been scoring when, you know, that's been their Achilles heel for, you know, for so long. A second surprise about this fixture is that it looks to me like it's got 0-0 written all over it, like 2 or 3 on the coupon. And yes, there hasn't been a 0-0 in this fixture at Villa Park in the last 6 seasons. So we've always been, in fact, over 2.5 goals in all but one of them. I just don't see that happening this time around, mainly because the West Brom manager nowadays is Tony Pulis, and West Brom away from home under Tony Pulis do one thing, and that's to keep a clean sheet. Anything they get above that is a bonus. Villa are not a team I see breaking down opponents, especially with a couple of injury worries they've got. Again, this is a third 0-0 draw I see on the coupon.
0-0 in the market, 7-1 here. The compilers, Lee, are all over the goals expectation in this game. You look at the under 2.5 goals is as short as 8-15. Over 2.5 is 11-8. Under 1.5 is as short as 7-4 as well. So they're not dangling any carrots there, are they, really?
No. And I because of that, I'm doing a bit of a Derek here, and I'm going to oppose it kind of out of spite because of that. Yeah. And I looked at the same stats you did there, Derek, at that head-to-head, and I had it in the back of my mind that this wasn't a low-scoring fixture. It's almost like because it obviously is a bit of a spicy one, it's almost like the kind of, you know, all the manager's words of discipline go out the window as soon as they get on the pitch. I don't mean in terms of yellow cards, I mean discipline in terms of positioning. But Villa haven't got that much in attack, I don't think. You know, I think there may be chances and it may be an end-to-end game, but it still might not be like a goal fest. You look at last year, the 2-1 win for Villa. I think Pulis hadn't been in charge for long then. Benteke got the winning goal there. Obviously, he's no longer there. And the year before that was the 4-3. Benteke, again, got a goal in that one. Weimann got a goal. These players aren't there anymore. And you know, Villa is still languishing near the bottom of the shots on goal table, at home that is. Away from home, West Brom are just as bad, 2.5 shots on target per game so far. I'm not going to play the goals, I'm just going to play the draw here. I'm going to play the 11-5. I could see this being a draw, even a 2-2 draw. So while I kind of agree with Derek, I'm not going to be able to play that. And out of spite, you know, I'd probably just go for the over 2.5 just to kind of, because it's a price play. I mean, how often do you see 11-8 for over 2.5 goals in a game that can have goals? You only need 3, obviously. Interesting to see what Berahino's like. Obviously, he was benched last week with Rondon playing. If he comes back into it, maybe we'll see a bit better from Berahino. But yeah, I'll play the draw. And if anyone likes that goals play, just I don't necessarily think it'll happen, but over 2.5 at 11-8.
Newcastle versus Watford up next. Newcastle 6-4. The draw 11-5. Watford at 19-10. Jorginho Wijnaldum to score and Newcastle to win is 6-1. Troy Deeney to score and Watford to win 6-1 as well. Those are the two headline offers here. I watched Newcastle's match against West Ham on Monday night, and Newcastle were woeful in that game, Lee. I'm convinced Papi Cissé was playing in his diving boots. There's never been a Premier League footballer with as heavy a first touch as him. Everything was just bouncing off him. But the 6-4 here at home to Watford, we wouldn't have seen anything like that price if this was the first game of the Premier League season.
No, true. Tricky one, this, isn't it? Because I think I listened back to our podcast last week, and I think Derek and I both were talking about Watford's inability to score goals. What we didn't also say is that, you know, they haven't been conceding many either, you know, so it's maybe a little bit unfair of us to kind of, you know, pick on that as a weakness without saying, well, actually, they're not that bad. They've only conceded 4 goals, they've only scored 3. You know, so, you know, they're not a terrible team. You know, they're only, you know, you look at the teams above them in terms of defence: Tottenham, Arsenal, Man United and Man City. So, you know, they've been pretty tight, and I think they might just well go away here and look for a tight game and look to shut up shop. Hasn't worked for them so far particularly. We had, you know, the 2-2 draw at Everton, lost to Preston in the Cup and lost to Man City, but held them until half time and then were overrun in the end. Have Newcastle got enough to break down a stubborn Watford team? I don't think so. I'm going for the draw and I'm going to go for under 2.5 goals here as well. So the draw and under 2.5. The draw's, you know, not a bad price on its own, 11 to 5, just a smidgen over 2 to 1. But the draw and under 2.5 is
14 to 5. It is
14 to 5. I think we'll see maybe a 0-0 or a 1-1.
Okay, Derek. These prices here suggest that Watford are a better side than Newcastle.
Yeah, I see what you mean. I know Newcastle are favourites, but only marginally, and Watford are away from home. So yeah, it does imply that. And anybody who watched the match on Monday would agree. That's the thing, though. You know, it's cost me a lot of money over the past few years, over my life, in fact. That you take too much notice of the previous game, and you know, you see a team and you think, God, they are awful, and you oppose them at all costs a few days later, and then it turns out they're nowhere near as bad. Snag is Newcastle are that bad, because I've seen them a few times this season. And other than that Man United game, which, you know, the 0-0 game, which has been devalued a little because of Man United's survival since, I just can't see them score a goal. On Monday, they were so bad. They didn't really try, did they, on Monday? It was a shocking Premier League performance by Newcastle, and I can't really back them at 6-4. Had I not seen that game, I'd have thought, yeah, 6-4 at home to Watford? You'd expect Watford to be 3-1 here, wouldn't you, at least? And yet they're only 19-10.
Yeah.
It's a real tough one to call this. It wouldn't surprise me, if this was another 0-0 game. But what I'll do instead is play under 1.5 goals, which is bigger than 2-1. I mentioned the 2-1 game I mentioned earlier, 21-10 under 1.5 goals. I like the look of that one.
And if you did watch that match, Derek, on Monday, their biggest goal threat was Daryl Yanmat.
Yeah,
he's 33-1 to score first, 33 last, and 15-2 to score any time.
Yeah, you wouldn't put anybody off that, would you?
Yeah, we talked about early last season. Do you remember?
Yeah,
I think he delivered once for us, didn't he? Which was enough.
Those
sort of prices. Yeah.
Let's move on. We've got Bournemouth versus Sunderland next. Bournemouth 8-11, the draw 13-5, and Sunderland 4-1. Heard you exhale as soon as I said 8-11, Derek.
It's just ridiculous.
I can hear him flicking through the Derek McGovern Bible.
Well, it's Sunderland now, isn't it?
Is there an asterisk at the bottom of the Bible where it says Sunderland do not apply?
But you can't flick through it when it's one page long.
4-1 to win at Bournemouth, Sunderland. We've been in the Premier League, you like it or lump it, which is probably their tactics for many, many seasons. And this is Bournemouth's first. The prices are wrong. They're just wrong. And I've got to give Sunderland another try at these odds. I have. God knows why. I just have.
They have been backed a little bit. They were 9-2, weren't they, when this market was first formed, and now into 4-1 early on in the week. Now into 4-1. 8 games without a win in the Premier League, which is the longest current run in the Premier League. They've drawn 4 and lost 4, Sunderland. Here's a little bit of trivia for you, Mr. Phelps. Jermaine Defoe has scored against 34 different teams in the Premier League.
Right.
This will be the first time that he's faced Bournemouth in the competition.
Mm-hmm.
Just 4 players have scored against 35 or more clubs in the Premier League in its history. Name them.
Rooney?
No, not
Shearer.
Rooney. Alan Shearer's one.
Thierry Henry?
No.
Andy Cole?
Yes, he's 2.
Do you want to help me, Derek? Dwight York?
Robbie Fowler's too far back.
Michael Owen?
Too far back. No. You got to. We'll let this run throughout the podcast. Your thoughts on this game? Obviously, Derek's given his thoughts, and rightly so. He's got Sunderland down as a bet here at 4-1. I couldn't believe these prices either. You've
Peter
got Sharon
Crouch?
Lampard so far, by the way.
I'm joking about Crouch. It's just daft. To add to the fact that, you know, what Derek said, Bournemouth haven't won yet at home.
They're not pulling up any trees, are they?
It's not like they're kind of... If anyone puts Bournemouth down as a bet, as a single this weekend, or in any bet, they need the head checking, don't they? 8-11 for a team who haven't won at home yet. I've only scored one goal at home as well. Now, admittedly, it's difficult to back Sunderland, but they are capable. You know what I mean? You look back to last season when, you know, they were real pretty poor. They do win away games. I think it's just, you know, are you brave enough to take the 4-1, or do you go all, like, you know, all week like me and play the draw no bet or the plus one? But I even think Sunderland plus one at 23-20, getting 2 results for an established Premier League side. If this game was drawn in the FA Cup last season, and Bournemouth's team isn't that much different to last season, would these wouldn't have been the prices. There wouldn't have been odds on at home in the cup against Sunderland.
It's reaction to Sunderland's start to the season, isn't it? But it's not taking into account Bournemouth start, really.
Yeah. Yeah.
Similar prices to one we'll talk about. Surely Liverpool are home to Norwich. Now, I think Liverpool are awful at the moment, but Liverpool could actually, if they turned it on, could give Norwich a good hiding. Under no stretch of the imagination can you see Bournemouth giving Sunderland a good hiding, could you?
No. It'd be a major shock, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
And Sunderland have just come off the back of a 2-2 draw at Villa. So it's not like they're absolutely shocking. Scored 2 goals at Leicester. I know these aren't great results, but they are scoring more goals. They've scored 4 goals in 2 away games. Bournemouth have scored 1 at home. So, like Derek, I'm not saying I'm unbelievably confident that Sunderland will do it. I have to have a bet on the 4-1. If you want to have a little saver on the +1, then be my guest. I still think that's a great price, but I'm going all out on the win. Sunderland 4-1.
Draw no bet looks good as well. Sunderland 11-4, all in agreement with that one. Let's move on to go on.
No, I was just going to say, just to point out, but I was reading the team news for Bournemouth, it says about the players who will come in, Josh King, Adam Smith and Junior Stanislas coming into the starting 11. Now, I've heard of Junior Stanislas, but you'd be hard-pressed to have many men in the street who just go, oh, yeah, Josh King and Adam Smith coming in. Yeah, good strength in depth,
yeah.
Wouldn't you? I mean, not to deride them, they're professional footballers, and I'm not, but we're talking about, at least Sunderland have got established Premier League players.
I thought that was a disguise. I thought you were a professional footballer and you just came in that disguise.
I know it looks like it, but it does. That's the Ferrari outside.
Swansea versus Everton next. Swansea 13-10, the draw 11-5. Everton are 11-5. Bafa Timbi Gomis to score and Swansea to win 4-1. Romelu Lukaku to score and Everton to win is 6-1. Roberto Martinez has actually done well with Everton when going to his former club. Won a couple and drawn a couple, and Everton overall have an overwhelming record against Swansea. Swansea have just won one of their previous 23 meetings against Everton in all competitions. They have to, Swansea, bounce back from that 1-0 loss against Watford as well. While Everton fans, Lee, will of course be ecstatic at the manner of their victory against Chelsea last weekend.
Unbelievable, wasn't it? Naismith, who we haven't even given a mention this season, comes on as sub and has the greatest day of his career.
He was your man crush last year, wasn't he, for a lot of the time?
He must look back and go, I wasn't even meant to play, and I've gone and grabbed everything he hit. And it's funny, I love the Mourinho stuff afterwards. I know not everyone's a big fan of Mourinho, but I thought it was just so funny afterwards. He's like basically saying everything that anyone hits goes in. He said, we even turned up to do the pre-match stats and the computer wouldn't work. you can't blame the computer. Can you imagine Ron, Derek? Computer? What do you mean computer? Ah, you see. But it was an unbelievable result. I must admit, I've been down on Everton. They haven't done an awful lot wrong, have they, so far this season? The Man City, losing 2-0 at home to Man City, not the end of the world. The Watford result was poor. I thought they shouldn't have been conceding 2 goals at home to Watford, but they've beaten Southampton away, they've beaten Chelsea at home, 0-0 draw at Tottenham. Not much to dislike there. I'm half tempted to go for them to win at Swansea here at 11-5. But I'm going to take the fact that they've given us a decent price in Everton, and play the draw no bet here, because I think the draw is a big player. So 11-8 Everton draw no bet. I think, as you said, Everton have always managed to get decent results. I think Moyes was one of the first managers to figure Swansea out early on, and that if you press them really hard and you get stuck into them, then you can upset that rhythm that they managed to achieve. And I think Everton might adopt the same kind of tactic here, not a particularly Martinez type tactic, but I think they'll get amongst Swansea and unsettle them. So Everton draw no bet for me at 11-8.
Derek, both locked together on 8 points, these two sides. It's an intriguing one, this one. Looking forward to this game.
Yeah, what Lee mentioned there, and just in his parting shot, was dead right. It was Ron Atkinson, who first mentioned that. Everton's tactics under David Moyes against Swansea, they negated everything Swansea were good at. And it would be, you can't believe they'd do anything different, even though it's a different manager. Surely the long-standing Everton players will say, listen, we know how to handle Swansea. Yeah. We've done it season after season. And I think they're a decent price, considering the way they played against Chelsea last week, which was excellent. Whereas Swansea were diabolical by all accounts. The manager, Gary Monk, couldn't believe how poor they were. We've given Newcastle a merciful stick for their last game. Why shouldn't we give the same to Swansea? Because they were just as bad in their performance against Watford and Everton at a backable price here. I think Everton will win.
11-5 Everton to win that match. Stoke versus Leicester is next. Stoke 6-4. The draw 2-1. Leicester 2-1. Identical prices to the Newcastle-Watford game here, or almost identical prices, Derek, to that one. I've got this down as the... Not quite.
Can you have almost identical?
It's you one can of the, have almost
what
identical,
those things? I forgot what they're called. I'll remember when I pick up these two scorers as well.
The compilers are suggesting that Leicester are almost as good as Stoke, or if not better than Stoke this season. I just can't see this.
No. If you have a betting who's going to finish higher, if you're going to give me 10 to 11 Stoke, I'll be on it all day. Stoke will get better, and Leicester will get worse. My confidence selection, that whether it's this Saturday, remains to be seen, but you're definitely getting a decent price about Stoke here, 6-4. Leicester are beginning to annoy me now. Just go away, will you? just that ridiculous result against Villa last week let me down. My hacker at the mirror, 60-1 hacker, when Villa were winning 2-0. Stoke, I think, you look at the two squads and you wonder why Stoke is 6-4 here. I know they haven't been as good as they should have been, but I trust Mark Hughes to get it right sooner or later, and I'm backing it'll be sooner.
Yeah, I like Stoke here, 6-4. Mr. Phelps. No?
Not overly convinced.
Need to bottle up Riyad Mahrez, who's looked like one of the best players in the Premier League this season.
Yeah.
A lot of the chat has been about this week at Leicester has been about this, this search for a clean sheet. They still haven't had a clean sheet. And he's offered them pizza now. Started out with a tenner. The manager said, if you keep a clean sheet, I'll give you all a tenner. And they didn't bite. They're not having that. Tenor's not quite the level that Premier League football was.
No.
Now he's offered them pizza. He set them out all for pizza. I still don't think that's quite going to cut it with the modern day footballer. And I think while it's been a bit of a joke in the press, I wonder if it is as serious as that. I mean, if Leicester go there and try and shut up shop and try and keep Stoke to nil, then I think we will be in for a pretty low scoring game. But I can't see that. Look at what Leicester have been doing away from home. They score goals, and at home. I think they'll sit in and try and keep it tight, and they'll have to counter attack. Stoke still haven't scored a goal at home. That has to change. Like Derek says, I think the whole thing has to change at Stoke. And while there isn't much evidence for it to change, I'm going to play over 2.5 here at 21-20. I think there will be three goals in the game at least. So I get what you guys are saying about Stoke being a good price at home. They should well be, but Leicester are second in the table, still plodding along quite nicely with 11 points. They've done all right so far. Been to West Ham and picked up all three. Went to Bournemouth and picked up a point. I wouldn't be surprised if they spoil the party at Stoke, but I'll swerve the outrights and just go for the over 2.5.
Okay, over 2.5 goals is 21-20, and we finish this weekend with Liverpool versus Norwich. Liverpool 4-6. The draw is 13-5. And Norwich in the market at 9-2. Liverpool, Lee, on a 10-match unbeaten streak against Norwich. They've won 9 of those games as well. That performance against Manchester United, though, was lamentable. It was really poor. They've obviously got a few injuries at the club at the moment as well. But they should have the squad strength to cope with those injuries.
Yeah, when does this Brendan Rodgers project actually start turning into something, Derek, do you reckon?
Yeah.
I understand that the Suarez thing was a big problem. Losing a player like Suarez, you were never going to replace a player like Suarez unless you bring in Neymar or Messi or someone. That's something that most managers won't ever have to deal with. But he keeps, as far as I can see, he keeps spending quite a lot of money in the summer months, and then it takes him another few months to bed in. It always seems like they're in transition now, especially with Gerrard leaving, of course, as well. And,
I don't think those signings that they've made are that good, though, are they, Derek? That Firmino looks terrible, really.
Yeah, he's only had two hands on the game. Give it a bit of time. But, yeah, you're right. You wonder, when he finished second under Suarez, whether Suarez could have taken Southampton to second place or a team like that. That's how good he was. And without him and without Gerrard, and without Carragher too, of course, they're just not Liverpool anymore. Rodgers was saying this week, they face an identity crisis, and you look at some of the plays he played on Wednesday or Thursday, right, and he didn't know the identity of half of them. I've never heard of them, and I'm a Liverpool fan. I don't know what to think about them. Long term, I don't know what to think. Short term, I know what I'm thinking. I'll be opposing them on Saturday because remember this time last season, Lee, and I said to you, God, I can't wait for the skid to get Liverpool against Southampton. I thought I'll get 8-1 for Southampton. They were 5-1 Southampton. I was absolutely gutted. And I thought, I can't back them. Anyway, Norwich are 9-2 here.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, I know. I want to oppose Liverpool, but Norwich are not big enough. But they've done it well away from home. I hate this fixture. I really don't know what to say, because Liverpool will be a different animal with Coutinho back. And there were signs on Thursday night in that draw at Bordeaux with Lallana and Coutinho playing in tandem, we might get a different Liverpool. I expect better things from them this season because they've been poor so far. But, you know, they've been so poor that why should we expect them to turn it on right away against Norwich? What, you know, aren't they going to build gradually to that? You know what? I'm going to go for Norwich at 9-2. I think it's short, but the alternative is back in Liverpool at 4-6, and they ain't going to be doing that.
Yeah, I'd love to speak to a trader about this, because, you know, over the years, Liverpool have been the team who are always shorter than they should be. And now they're bigger than they should be, aren't they?
Last year they'd have gone out off at 2-5 to win a fixture like this.
And previous years, even when they were worse even when they
it's
hadn't
It's something
had...
we've mentioned numerous times on the podcast.
It's intriguing, isn't it? Why are they this big? Why are they suddenly bigger? Are they trying to get Liverpool in the book a bit more? You know, are they suddenly now getting to the stage where people aren't just backing Liverpool blindly?
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
I wonder why it's now, and they've had much before Suarez came. I mean, sometimes you're just thinking, what is this Liverpool team? At the moment, for me, they're boring. There's that first 45 minutes against Arsenal, I thought they were exceptional. That's it. That's all we've seen, as far as I can tell, from them. That's resembled anything like. They're not using Benteke, right? We spoke about this. You know, just try using Benteke's strengths rather than... His strengths are obviously scissor kicks from just outside the area. You know, play the ball to him in that area all the time. What a goal, by the way, that was. A stunning goal. I tend to agree with Derek in that. You know, I think it's going to be a difficult afternoon for Liverpool. I think they might just get it. I think they might just nick this one. They need to start battening down the hatches in terms of the defence. You know, Norwich will go there and they will set up to try and get a point. I think that's pretty much undoubted. That's going to be their tactic. I think Liverpool will get the better of them. So I think my two bets that I like here are Liverpool to win and under 2.5 goals, which is, you know, I think is a nice bet when the team will win but might find it a bit of a struggle. That's 11-4. Or the bet that I put up for the Man City game, which is the draw half time, full time Liverpool. You know, a bit of a struggle. They don't ever come out the blocks firing. I would want to go and see my team against a team like Norwich launch myself at them.
Yeah.
You know, Norwich aren't going to hit you on the counter attack too many times. They might get a goal if they hit you and get lucky with a counter attack. They're not going to be set up to hit Liverpool on the counter successfully too many times. So I think Liverpool should go out, but I don't think they will. I think they'll go out pretty tamely. Draw Liverpool 7-2. So I'll go for Liverpool to win and under 2.5, 11-4.
11-4. I wonder if Danny Ings might start. What do you think? Do you think Danny Ings might start, Derek, on Sunday?
No, I don't.
But he's another one, isn't he? I mean, why not? Why buy these players? Why buy Lambert? He never got a sniff.
No, I
don't understand it. Why are they buying these players and not giving them a sniff? It just seems weird to me. And is Daniel Sturridge ever going to play another football match or what? I mean, it's a strange old situation there for me.
Well, I mean, I'm guessing that he's not showing it in training. Otherwise, he'd have been in the team, wouldn't he?
Yeah, it's just weird. But what leads them to bring these players in? I guess that's strange.
Rodgers is very short now. 6-4 here with William Hill to be next manager gone.
Yeah. Well, there are one or two whispers on Merseyside that he will be. Mm. But you know, you hear them.
How many of those have you started, Derek?
Fans aren't keen.
Never believe
a
rumor unless I start.
Let's finish with the naps then, chaps.
I'm looking forward to your nap, DK, because you've been bristling with confidence.
I've got a few that I like.
You can go first, then, eh?
No, well, go on, briefly your list, because I know you've been talking about one.
Yeah, tell us all your best naps, and we'll pick off the best ones.
Newcastle Stoke is a stick-on double this weekend. Newcastle to win at home to Watford at 6-4. Stoke to win at home to Leicester at 6-4. But I'm going to go with Newcastle. 6-4 to beat Watford as my nap. By the way, that double is five and a quarter to one. Can I have that one for your column, Derek?
Yeah, I might do that.
I think one of my draw doubles that I was so confident on came in last week, actually.
Did it?
I think it's another good week for a draw double. The draw double is going to be my little project this season, I think. I like the draw double. Go on, Derek.
I will go, I think. I fancy Sunderland. You're just too big. I'm going for Sunderland 4-1 at Bournemouth.
Good stuff. Sunderland goes in 4-1 with Newcastle at 6-4. Complete the treble, Mr. Phelps.
Ooh, I've got two. I've got Stoke v Leicester over 2.5. Or the other one was Tottenham versus Palace, both teams to score at 8-11. I will go for Tottenham versus Crystal Palace, both teams to score at 8-11. I know it's a bit skinny, but you know, I need a win on the board.
Get a win on the board. Yeah. That treble here with William Hill pays just over 20-1. Newcastle 6-4 to beat Watford. Sunderland at 4-1 away from home against Bournemouth, and both teams to score. Tottenham versus Crystal Palace, yes, at 8-11. I'm not going to say it's got a chance this week. I'm going to go the opposite and say I don't think this one's got a prayer. Bit of reverse psychology on the coupon there. Thank you for your company, Derek.
Cheers, lads.
Thank you, Mr. Phelps.
Thank you. Cheers, Derek.
Cheers, boys.
Thanks to everyone for listening to William Hill's Pump Podcast. Remember, you can download this via Audio Boom. Go to audioboom.com and type in William Hill, and you can get us on iTunes as well. Myself, Lee, and Derek will be back next week. Good luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.